This is the Amp Hour Podcast, recorded May 23rd, 2011. Episode 44, Pernicious Projects, Puppies in Peril.
Welcome to the Amp Hour. I'm Dave Jones from the EEV blog.
And I'm Chris Gamble from Chris Gamble's Analog Life.
And hopefully you don't hear any echo.
Yeah, because you have acoustic panels now.
I have, professional.
Are you a professional now?
Professional, homemade, acoustic
panel. Is that what you're doing with these hours these days?
That's it. I'm a professional radio announcer, and I have a professional recording studio with my...
There you go.
Massive $80 mic and my...
Watch out, Leo Laporte. Here comes
Dave.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes, I made my own acoustic panels. It took me a while because I had a few things on, so it sort of sat in the garage sort of half-finished for a while, which was really annoying. I couldn't get my car into the garage because I had these frames just scattered and all this acoustic material scattered all over my garage floor.
Yeah.
But, yes, I finished it. If you haven't seen the video, it's up on the site now, and it does make a difference. But you probably won't hear it here. It makes more of a – it's a very subtle thing because I had the pillows before, as you know, and they worked fairly well. But it was just annoying getting the pillows, you know, dragging the pillows in here every week and setting them up. And
right. So now someone can sit on the couch and
exactly,
also
while I'm actually
record.
Doing this, yeah.
Right.
And then the wife
the waiting
doesn't
room.
Complain.
There
yeah, and they look pretty good too. So
yeah, they'd
be happy
I like
with
them.
The result.
Yeah, nothing like a little decorative sound killing.
Yes, and we're back to our regular two-person show this week.
I know it's weird. It's
it
like,
seems like we haven't done this for ages. When was our last two-person show?
I don't know. I think let's see. So last time was Jeff and Jeremy, and then I think it was before that though.
Was
I think,
it?
I think so. Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems like a long time. That's all.
It does. We haven't had a chance to talk, huh, Dave?
Just that's right.
You. Mano a mano.
Which was mano the original mano. Idea.
I know.
Because I thought a show with just me would be boring as batshit.
And I tried it.
Now
and it was
twice
boring.
As boring.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You did try it, didn't you?
Oh, it was so bad. I go back and I listen to it. And I'm just like, oh, so horrible. I'll put a link if people want to torture themselves.
Right.
Yuck. Anyway. Never again. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, the two-person show works much better.
Yep. So, what's been going on this week?
Ah, busy.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm flat out with shit.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Which I can't talk
about. Busy.
So, yeah.
Right.
Crazy. Anyway, you wanted to talk about an acronym.
I did, yeah. So, the Bay Area Maker Faire... So people have been hearing about this probably on Twitter and other places, and you know, there's always that lag from when the event happens to when it actually occurs. And so I keep seeing this everywhere pop up, and it's BAMF. And I keep saying, BAMF, what is that? And I'm like, is that badass mother...
Beep.
And, and no, it's not. It's actually Bay Area Maker Faire. So I've been getting that wrong all week long. I've been thinking these people have been talking about like Mr. T or whoever used to
right.
say that.
I pity the fool.
That's good. There you go.
Love Mr. T, but I'm from the 80s, so I'm a child of the 80s. So, I'm a huge fan.
That's good.
Young whippersnappers these days don't know who Mr. T is, I'm sure.
Well, they had that remake of the A-Team, and that was just okay.
Oh, yeah, I guess. I haven't even watched that. I couldn't bring myself to watch it, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, other than that, though, there's been the Hamvention was down in Dayton, Ohio. That's
Hamvention,
like one of the things.
That's a good term.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. So that's a big ham convention, or as they call it, Hamvention. There's like this monstrous flea market. So I know a bunch of people that went to that. And I've been getting lots of comments actually from hams when I mentioned that I'm studying for the license. So that's been cool.
Excellent. There's actually a ham radio thing here. I think it's called the Wyong Field Day or something they call it, because it's up in Wyong, which is up on the north coast here in Sydney. And I've never been to it. And they have a similar thing, you know, they have like a flea market sort of, you know, junk stalls and people selling old gear and stuff like that. And I think I'll have to go one year.
Yeah, so. I think it'd be worthwhile. I mean, like, I had some friends at work that went, and just hearing about some of the stuff they got. I mean, like, my one friend got a tube for his 1920s radio. Nice. I mean, like, he does that regularly, but just hearing about that, I mean, like, it was such, like, an obscure socket type and everything. And,
yeah.
And, oh, yeah, of course we have that. Why not?
You know? Yeah, I got one of those. You buy trunk here.
Yeah. Yeah, right? So
trunk? I mean, oh, God, I'm using American terms.
The boot?
Boot.
The boot. Yeah. So it sounds like it was a fun time, though. I don't know. I think field days are when they actually have, like, events and they just kind of take a radio out in a field. And
yeah, and they do fox hunts and stuff like that. But yeah, they yeah. call it, I think they call it the Wyong Field Day here, but it's actually more of a, you know, just a,
oh, like
a flea
convention.
Market type. Yeah, they have stalls and things like that. So
yeah. Are there any kind of, like, electronics, like non-ham, like, electronics flea markets out there?
No, nothing. There's nothing here in Sydney.
I've only heard of that in, like, California, I think. I'm not sure if people know of other ones. I'd love to hear about them, just because it seems like it'd be a really cool thing to go to, but I've only heard about them out in California, really. So
yep, same here. So I don't know, I'm sure there's some in other countries where there's a large, you know, tech population density, but you certainly don't get that here in Sydney. So unfortunately,
that's stupid.
It'd be great if we did, but yeah, it's pretty much the backwater.
You get eBay, huh?
Yeah, eBay is pretty much it. And that's the problem. If you want to get gear and stuff like that, it's hard to get it here.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just, you know, there's not like 10 surplus dealers like there are in the US in the Bay Area. I'm sure there's, you know, a dozen of them. But here, it's just hard to get that sort of stuff. So
you've
got to pay a fortune in shipping to get it shipped from the US.
That's anyway. Too bad. Yeah,
wow.
Big old
but
beefy
it's pretty good now that the US dollar's worth about
nothing.
10 cents Australian.
Yeah, there you go. Whatever works, man. Glad we could help you out, Dave.
No problem.
I've been slowly influencing it over the years just to help you out.
Yeah, I just sit here going crash. Yeah. Come on,
oh, God.
Come on.
I need
US.
More test equipment.
Exactly. All right,
wow.
What have we got? This week.
I have no idea. No
Neither
idea what
I.
we got going
I
on this week.
I haven't looked at the list, so it's got to be a balls up.
Let's see. How about some micro stuff? We haven't talked about micros. Well, I guess we did talk about it last week.
We did, and people complained, and there's
we
a
did get that.
Word
yeah.
which shall not be mentioned this week.
Yes, yes.
Yes, we'll do our
you know,
best. But
one thing someone suggested to me, there was an IEEE robot newsletter that went out, and I got it too. It was actually pretty cool.
Right.
And so they're So there was a couple things. There was the first thing is they talked about like a home-based, low cost, quote unquote, personalized robot. So it's about $3,000, and it's called
low
Luna.
Cost. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really.
You know, it's getting down there.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty big too. I mean, for what the size of it is.
Right. Yeah.
So and they say it's fully programmable, but you know. It's interesting because it's like a humanoid factor, like a you know, like a face for a screen for a face rather, but it doesn't look like it does much else other than kind of like walk around and follow you. And honestly, it looks like a like an air filter with a big screen on the top.
Air filter.
Yeah.
Where is this? I've got to take a look at this. Is there a link here?
There is a link further down. So on our list, our secretive list, it's number 28. People
number
are probably
28.
Sitting at home right
now. Yeah.
Oh,
there we
I
go.
Wish I could see that list. Yeah. Yeah, so it's interesting. It's you know it's cool that they're making it programmable and
is it open source?
I don't think it is. I don't think the hardware is open source, but it actually looks a lot more like a you know a computer spec.
Yeah,
it says open source software. So people like Willow Garage, who's a big robot group, they can work on it. But I don't think the hardware is open. But I'm not sure if it would matter as much.
You're
this
right.
Is some...
That is an air filter.
It looks like it.
It looks like a portable air conditioner.
Yeah,
and of
that's
course,
right.
They've got a photo of a chick standing next to it,
staring
course,
at it,
you know, rather than some nerd, you know.
Well,
chicks can be nerds too, of course. But
of course, yeah, equal opportunity nerdiness.
Right.
You know, it's got these two wimpy little arms, and it doesn't look like it does much.
I know. They just
they show
look
with
like
they show with a tray. There's a couple different pictures of it with a tray, and it's like holding two Solo cups, like the red Solo cups for. So I don't know about that, but it's a good start. I mean, that's cool. I mean, like robots, and I don't think they're going to get a lot of traction in the home, but
Not bad. I can see what they've tried to do there. They've probably like tried to go with like the alien type look, because it's kind of like the ET kind of, you know, thing.
Friendly. Or like Wall-E.
Wall-E, right. but yeah, I don't know. Maybe it would grow on you, the look. I don't know. So yeah, it doesn't seem like it can do much except follow you around. And it's got like a big screen for the face kind of thing. So that's a touch screen, presumably.
I know. And if it's supposed to be humanoid, it's like, would you touch your friend's face?
A face. You go up and in order to
control him? Hey, you, go over there. I'm going to poke you in the face.
Maybe it's all gesture based, you know. So
yeah.
They're talking and about. Well, you could probably have somebody's human face on there, right? Because it's a screen. You could,
like telepresence and all that other junk.
Yeah, probably a telepresence kind of thing.
I don't know. They were showing one of those off at ESC, and like, I mean, it's cool, right? I mean, it's cool because of the network, you know, because you need a lot of bandwidth to get the video through and everything. That's cool, and the control is cool. But the actual form factor, I mean, I don't know. Science fiction has just got my hopes so high. And this
I know.
This makes R2-D2 look like a porn star. I mean, like...
right. very true. I don't know. Would you want one of these following you around your house?
Well, it's not going up the stairs, I'll tell you that much.
Exactly. It's, Adjustable. It wouldn't even get up a single step, so it'd be... It couldn't even go out the front door in my place.
No, me neither. Yeah. You fall out the front door. But, again, I mean...
Face plant.
That would be a fun, like blooper reel that you'd see. You know?
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. These things have a lot to go. I mean, they had these back in the... I'm not kidding. They had them in the 80s. You could buy them from Radio Shack. These little... you know, these little portable personal robots. They were going, oh, the future's here. You know, you can have your own personal robot. And it had an FM radio built in and it and a cassette player, I think. And
with real transistor action.
I love it.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, they've got a long way to go. They're just a gimmick, really, I think. Anyway, I guess if you got $3,000 to spend, then they could be fun to program and hack around with. And I don't know. Anyway,
and they're so there was another robot thing that I thought was interesting too. They're promoting like a Robo Games, and actually, the Robo Games already happened for 2011, I believe. But they're talking. It's kind of like. Do you ever used to watch BattleBots?
We never used to get that here. No, watched it. But yeah, know about the. I've seen bits of it, so I know what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. And they still do it. I mean, like, I think this is kind of like a continuation, except not as televised. You know, BattleBots is a big deal, you know?
Yeah, apparently. It's got its own network TV show, doesn't it? Is it?
Well, it used to,
it's a series, isn't it, when it comes on or something? I don't know.
It used to be. It's a big deal. I haven't seen it in years, so.
Right.
It was always great, though. I mean, although some of the stuff, I mean, the Wedge always seemed to win. Stupid Wedge.
So it just flies under the other one and flips it over, doesn't it?
And it just totally incapacitates it.
Yep. Okay. So everyone else needs to design one of these robots with these arms that can just flip itself back up. Is that the
idea? That's a good call. Yeah. Or like have a reversible one. Yeah, I think that's how they eventually beat them. But it was always cool when it was on, but yeah, I don't know. But I think they're pushing it too as a competition for kids, not necessarily like first, but like a hey, cool, get into robotics kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, because it's better than nothing.
It's probably the coolest implementation of engineering and electronics possible, right? Surely.
Yeah. Right, definitely.
You know, can anyone think of anything better maybe that kids would find cooler? I don't know. Maybe tricopters or something like that.
Breathing.
Quadcopter or...
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I mean, which you can say is a robot kind of thing, right?
Yeah, destruction always gets the crowds going, right?
Yeah, blowing shit up.
But yeah.
Yeah, I think, robots are cool. So, Well, any way to get the kids involved, right?
Yeah, no, I was contrasting it with like FIRST, and I am a very big fan of FIRST Robotics. If people don't know what that is, that's Dean Kamen's charity, I guess it is.
Yeah, we've talked about it on here before. I had only first heard of it like a year ago or something.
Oh, okay.
I hadn't heard of it because it's not big in Australia. You know, well, it might be, but I'm not involved with schools, you know, so.
Right, right.
Yeah, I've got no clue.
And I think it is international, but I don't know enough about it to say about Australia. So
yeah, no, there are definitely schools here that do it. I've actually seen some of them. I've met some of them now that I know about it. Mm-hmm. But before that, yeah, I had no clue. So it may have been happening here for 20 years. I don't know.
yeah. So, I mean, it's just contrasting it with like that. I guess I'd probably pick FIRST over, you know, robo games as like a killer robot thing. But at the same time, like, I don't know. Sometimes
If you're a kid, which one are you going to like better?
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes you have to be realistic that pop culture, you still have to have that entry point where you draw people in.
Yeah. Right? Exactly.
Like, how do you do that? I mean, for some people, it's science fiction, right? For some people, it's a mentor, or, you know, just parents that work on electronics or whatever else. It doesn't matter.
And for some girls, as we've discussed before, it might be the art aspect of interactive art or something. Like it or not, that might get them interested in engineering and electronics.
Or boys as well.
Of course. There's many different areas you can get into.
And, it's always about, having a multi-pronged approach like that, I think, is good. So saying one's better than the other is not really a
You can't can't say that. You need them all. Anything that gets people involved. Yeah. Well, I guess there's limits to that, but let's not go there.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, that brings me to multimeters.
Do you like multimeters? Have you ever mentioned those before?
There's a rumor going around that I kind of find them fascinating. Yep.
Oh, that's weird. Okay.
Anyway, this is not new, but I thought I'd add it on here to see if anyone can beat this. One of the forum members, I've got to pronounce it correctly, which I won't. Excavatory is his username or handle.
Like excavator.
Excavator, yep.
What it is. Excavator EE, like electrical engineering, maybe?
Of course, right, yeah. All right.
But yeah, I see how you pronounced it. I totally agree with that pronunciation.
Right. All right. Anyway, he posted a photo. This is quite some time back, and we'll link it on the show notes. Take a look at it. He got his collection of multimeters and actually put them on the steps inside his house, you know, the staircase. Yeah. And it goes all the way up the staircase, his collection of Fluke. They're just Fluke multimeters. And
if you look at
and he said he has 88 more that he didn't put in the photo.
What? Why? Did he say? I didn't see the thread yet. But did he say why?
Well, he came from some industry where they would just throw these out. They would give them a finite lifetime and then toss them out or something. Some mining industry or something like that. Or he was in some industry where he managed to pick up all these Flukes and all in original cases and all sorts of stuff. So it's just absolutely amazing.
That is unreal.
This photo is just mind-boggling. It really is.
Oh, my God.
Can anyone beat that for a collection of multimeters, let alone a collection of just Flukes? So,
why? He should send that to Fluke. I bet they would love that.
Exactly.
Oh,
it's brilliant. I know. And it's worth a fortune. Some of those meters
if he's selling them off. I mean, is he technically considered
sought after on eBay.
Is he a hoarder? At this point? I mean, people will be able to tell.
Yeah,
if
that constitutes hoarder. That's not that's not collection. You know, you would have one of each. If you were a collector, you'd have the best type of each. You know, or maybe he goes for serial numbers and look, I've got the lowest serial number in that model, manufactured out of that plant. In you know, some people get to that level.
So, yeah.
Not on multimeters. Haven't heard people doing it on multimeters, but the people who collect scientific calculators, they collect. Fan of calculators as well, and some of those guys are nuts. Some of the collections of calculators are just amazing. They must have the earliest serial number manufactured from that plant in, you know, New Jersey or something. Oh, it's just crazy.
I really shouldn't speak against it. Have I ever told you what I collect, even though I definitely shouldn't?
Do tell.
I collect pianos. And it's just been this, like, increasingly horrible hobby. I collect them, but I'm not very good at playing them.
As in full-size pianos?
Well, I have... So right
like
now,
grand
I have...
pianos?
No, 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 no.
Right.
I have six pianos.
As in keyboards?
Keyboards, sort of. So I have a 68 Wurlitzer, like, upright. I have a MIDI programmer. That's like a fully weighted keyboard. I have an electric piano, which is like my favorite. That's a Wurlitzer 200. I have an organ down here. This is all in my basement too. So I, you know,
well, you'll have to post a photo now.
Yeah, I'll try and pop some photos on there. But I don't know how it happened though. You know, I'm not good at piano. I made the theme song, but it was not a good theme song. You know. So I mean,
you've got like half a dozen or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's not a serious collection, though. That's not a sickness yet.
You're right. You're right. It's not. But, you know, the worst part is I inherited the sickness from a friend.
Right.
So, yeah, it's bad. It is a sickness. I understand it, though. I mean, I guess.
Yeah, I can. If I had the space and didn't have a wife, yes, I'd be collecting hordes of shit.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have test equipment because you'd be like, oh, yeah, that'll be worth something someday.
I'd have test equipment coming out my ass, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's good to have that check to... get rid of it once in a while, you know?
Right. Anyway, so can anyone beat that? If you do, take a photo of your multimeter collection and put it up there, please.
We should expand that to any kind of test equipment. Like, who needs that much stuff? I mean...
Sure, if you've got 100 scopes in your...
Or even just 100 total pieces. Even if they don't have to be the same... I mean, I remember Mike's from Mike's Electric Stuff, the one who he posted on Workbench of the Week. And that was a crazy... I mean, but that was his lab.
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly.
That was a sweet shot. That was a panorama.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, post your photos, please.
Yes.
And I wanted to talk about this week, because we can't mention the other name week, because somebody said they'd kill a puppy if we did. Yeah. And we don't, when we love puppies, and we don't want any puppies to die. So I wanted to talk about, it's new-ish. It's a single chip PIC, basic interpreter microcomputer. And it's called the Maximite. And it was published in Silicon Chip Magazine. And I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, something like that. Jeff is the guy's name. I'm not sure of his last name. I forget. But he has developed this. It's all open source too. And the good thing about it is that it really is, although you can buy the whole kit, which has the, you know, the micro and a whole bunch of, you know, serial and parallel interfaces and SD card and all that sort of stuff. But, it really is a single chip solution. So you can, just like the thing that shall not be named, you can just program the chip and put it into your product, and you can program it in, you know, in a form of good old BASIC.
Who's programming in BASIC still?
Sorry?
Who's still programming in BASIC?
Well, I don't know. It's just another avenue.
That was my first programming language.
I spent many years programming BASIC, and I think it's still... a valid thing. If you don't want to get into C, if you find BASIC easier, if you've had experience in BASIC, then, well, why not continue with BASIC? There's nothing wrong with it.
You're right. There's nothing wrong with it. I agree with that.
Except if you want to get into the industry, you know, you can't put it on your resume and expect to go and get work in BASIC somewhere. But, to some people, that's not a big deal. They just want to do their own stuff, and that's fine. So... anyway, I think it's pretty cool. He's open sourced it. He's got his own BASIC interpreter, which you can program into presumably any 32-bit PIC. I'm not sure of which ones it actually fits into, how big the kernel is and all that sort of stuff. But it uses a 32-bit PIC micro. And, it's got 128K of working memory, and even after the BASIC interpreter's in there. And I just think it's neat. And he's going to all the effort to open source it and everything. So... and this kit's available. Yeah.
And he's got a whole story about it, too, on the website, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like it. Really like it. So, and there's nothing new there. I mean, the original PIC BASIC stamp is the original introduction to, the easy introduction to microcontrollers. And that, I think you can still buy it, can't you? The BASIC Stamp?
Basic Stamp, was that Parallax or no?
That was Parallax, that's how they started with the Basic Stamp, I think.
Yeah. So yeah, I think they still sell it. Although their big thing is the propeller chip now, which I don't know if you saw that they actually started selling that on its own now. So not
just
they spun
it off. Did they spin off part of the company or something? They spun off the manufacturing arm.
Yeah.
Just to make it look more professional, you know.
Yeah, so people will buy the chip by itself for putting in products.
Exactly.
Stuff.
So they're like an independent manufacturer. Like, here's us. We just make this chip and we don't make hobby kits. Trust us. We're a professional company and we manufacture a professional, that's an excellent move. Because a lot of people in the industry, they're going, I'm not going to buy a chip from a hobbyist maker. You know, I'm not going to build that into my product. That's a huge risk.
How is my supply chain affected by that hobbyist company? I can't deal with that. I need a large industrial company to deal with.
Exactly. Whereas if they spin it off, call it. I don't think they've called themselves something else, have they? I think they're still using the same name.
I'll have to check.
But I think that's an excellent move because that's the only way they can gain traction in the professional industry, really.
Yeah.
So anyway, and can you buy it at Mouser and DigiKey? That's a big question. I don't know.
Yeah, that is still a big deal, right? I mean,
that's a big deal. Yep.
Yeah. Did we talk about that on here, or is that someone else talking about it?
Oh, no, we've talked about it many times on here, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay. I thought I remember someone else talking about it in industry, too.
No,
it's like
I've ranted, because you see all these startups, you know, like Touchstone Semiconductor we talked about the other week, and we probably want to mention them again, because they've changed their rules. Anyway, I don't understand any startup company who comes out with their new chip and doesn't immediately make available on Mouser and DigiKey. It's like suicide to do that,
not necessarily. I mean, it's not smart. I think it's smart to get on the biggest ones, but I'm sure there's a lot of costs to get listed.
And then they'll use some obscure distributor you've never heard of, and it's like, no, that's too hard. I'm not going to design your part in because I can't get small volumes to do my prototype runs.
Well, a single source still is always a big deal. I mean, but that's any kind of custom specialized chip like that. So that's got its own boatload of issues, right? I mean, distribution is a big deal, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
it. Yes, it definitely is. And, so if you're a startup out there, make sure you get your chip on Mouser and DigiKey. Otherwise, we're not going to design it in.
Trust me. Yeah, if it can't get the prototype, no one's putting it in their final design, that's for sure. So
anyway, I like I think this kit's a really good idea. Yeah. And it's like a little reboot of Basic. I kind of like it, you know? No pun intended.
I keep seeing your story, you know, whenever you pull something on a silicon chip, I keep telling myself I got to get that magazine.
Right.
And because there's a couple out there. I mean, like, Silicon Chip still does project-based stuff like that, right?
They're the only magazine, as far as I'm aware of, that have their own in-house team who actually design projects and kits. All the others get external people to submit stuff. So as far as I know, if you're aware of another magazine out there that actually has their own in-house staff to actually design kits, then let me know, because I'm not aware of one.
Yeah. So what about this Touchstone thing? We should probably mention that.
Yeah. Where's the link to it again?
And then up further. Anyways, so Touchstone, they heard our complaining, basically. That's what I've come to call our show, the big old complaining. But about the rules, so they didn't, they said, if you design something, it belongs to us. And also they had the voltage ranges wrong and the current usage that you could have wrong. And so they went back and they touched up those. And I'm not sure what they listed it now. I think they might have, like, said you get 30 microamps instead of the 6 that the part supposedly uses.
Right, okay.
So it's like 5 times, which isn't much still.
But the whole idea is a low-power solution. I think that's not too bad.
Yeah.
So, and my advice to them was to make a stipulation that all entries must be open-sourced. And they did that, did they?
They Well, they did.
Right.
And someone actually, I forget who it was, sorry, someone mentioned it on the site. And then, like, about an hour or two later, they're like, I must be seeing things because it's gone now. And I had clicked on it both times. And, yeah, so at one point it said, you know, use the open source hardware license. And, you know, I wrote an email to Phil Terone even. And I was like, Phil, someone is using this for a design contest. Isn't this cool? Because, you know, Phil's all big into the doing of that. And
of course.
And then I had to write him back. And I'm like, oh, they changed it. Never mind, man.
What a bunch of...
Well,
Touchstone, you idiots! What
I
are you
know.
Doing?
It's their. I talked to them about it, and they got. I think their lawyers got a hold of it, and basically, the thing that they were worried about, which I think is still a little out there, but they were worried that if someone, so say Dave, you were working for Dave Corp, the 1,000-person entity, right? And they were worried that if you had designed something for Dave Corp, right, and you didn't own the property, the intellectual property, and then you used it in this contest, and then they didn't claim it or something like that, or they didn't have this little clause that they put in as Rule 5, then they would not get sued by you, Dave Jones, but they would get sued by Dave Corp. And so I think
God's
that's a bit
sake.
Of a stretch. But
it is. Stop worrying about this shit.
Oh,
really. It's
I
just
know.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
These lawyers are worthless. They really are.
All they do is
create fear, FUD, you know?
FUD.
Fear,
yep.
Uncertainty,
fear,
and doubt.
And doubt. Yep, I agree.
Oh, man.
Yep, it's too
do
bad.
Do stuff in good spirits and, you know, in the spirit of... What am I saying? I don't know.
Good nature?
Good nature. Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah, just, you know...
Yeah, it's too bad how it worked out
at the
end.
And just live with the consequences, because there won't be any.
Right.
For goodness sake. Idiots.
Yeah. Well,
anyway.
You know, that's the corporate world.
Let's not advertise Touchstone anymore, huh?
Well, yeah. I still like them, you know.
It's
nice they responded. You know, you got to give them a couple points for that.
I'll give them that. I'll give them A for responding, but if you don't do it properly...
If you don't do exactly what we say, right, Dave?
That's right.
Yeah. The amp hour decree, huh? Yeah, I don't think that's really necessary. I mean, they're going to do what's best for them. I don't know if it's the best for a contest, but whatever, you know?
Yep.
Good luck. Good luck.
Anyway, not happy. Oh, boy.
Speaking of corporate thoughts, I wanted to I'll post the comic to this, but there's this really, I forget where I saw, I think it was somewhere on Twitter, there was this comic, this really simple web comic, you know, kind of like XKCD or something like that.
Right.
And they're talking about the apocalypse, which we all lived through apparently, you know, the other day.
Yes. Yeah, we're still here.
And you know, how engineers would be fixing everything up during the apocalypse. And then you see the finance major afterwards and just saying, well, maybe by this point, since I gave all these suggestions, we should talk about executive compensation at this point, because I think I should be compensated, so everybody
That's
else
great.
Is doing stuff. Yeah.
I love that cutting.
I'll post the link to it. It's pretty great.
Yeah, it's funny. Oh, man. Yes.
Yeah.
Probably the most worthless people out there after Armageddon, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh.
So, speaking of big companies, did you see this article about Intel releasing a smartphone?
No, I didn't. Do tell.
They are great. I saw another thing from EE Times today. They had a newsletter go out. But I feel like Intel is just grasping at straws, you know? They're so huge, but they're like, you know, maybe desktops and everything won't be as big in a couple years. And so now they said next year, Intel is going to have, I think, 10 smart Intel-based smartphones.
What?
Yeah.
Why 10?
Well, if I had to guess, it would be that a lot of their customers are in warm climates and they want some kind of heater for their pocket, because that's what I would think of with an Intel chip inside of it.
Right. Okay.
I know they have Atom chips and everything else, Atom chips are just so wimpy. Like, at least all the products I've used, I know that, like, they put, you know, major OSs on.
Oh, yeah, but they try and do so much in them. They put an Atom chip in and then try and run... You know,
like Windows 7
full
or something.
HD video on, you know, render HD video and stuff like that. I mean, you try and do that on an ARM and it's not even going to boot up, let alone do it. So I don't know. I thought the Atom chips killed the ARM ones in terms of sheer performance, maybe not in in actual performance per power consumption, per, you know, per per watt kind of thing. But
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I thought the atoms were super powerful for their size anyway.
Hmm.
I don't know. I could be completely wrong.
Maybe I'm just looking at it from the wrong angle, but I don't know. So anyways, Intel's been going after the embedded market for a while. They've been poking at it from different angles.
Yeah.
But I just pulled up this newsletter. They said 4%. This EE Times thing said it's only 4% of their revenue or something like that. The rest is PCs and servers and everything else.
But they see it as the future, right?
Well,
and that's the...
I would tend to agree. I mean, yeah, unless you're making...
I don't disagree. They should be pouring whole heap of resources and money into it. But
yeah.
It's
weird.
I don't know. The actual phones...
I know. It's like
there's better companies out there. Are they actually going to do it in house, or are they just going to subcontract, HTC to do them?
I don't know, man.
Or something, and whack an Intel.
I've got
Atom in there.
All they have is the press release, and it says, "Oh, I guess it's just Intel-based smartphones." But
right,
man, I guess if it's an Atom chip, that's one thing. Like that, I don't think that would be great. I mean, they're like 2-watt chips still. And, like, the sleep mode isn't as good on those things. So.
Well, maybe they can actually scale them back. I don't know. Has anyone used an Atom at 32 kilohertz? I don't know. Can you? Can you actually run the thing at in a real ultra-low power mode? I don't know.
Like a sleep mode? Yeah.
Yeah. Because a phone really doesn't need much power most of the time unless you're actually doing video-type stuff.
Or transmitting.
Just to operate the phone and... And actually do calls and texts and stuff like that. It really doesn't need to do much at all.
Well, no, because some of the transmitting stuff is high. It's in short pulses.
But that's done in chipsets. That's not done. That's done in the chipsets. It's not done in the actual itself.
I was thinking of the whole phone, yeah.
No, it's, you know. So unless you're actually surfing the web or something like that, that's when it, or doing video, that's when it actually needs all that grunt to...
Yeah, I know mine heats up the most when I do like navigation. So I use like Google Maps and I'm trying to find my way somewhere. That's when my phone gets the hottest.
Right. Because
that's real time or real processing intensive and rendering that video.
I know that with my HTC phone, everyone talks about the difference between, the old model was 700 megahertz processing speed and this new phone's a gig. You know, and they can really tell the performance difference and stuff like that. So I guess, you know, when you're running, well, I guess because the interfaces are all graphical these days, you know, all the HTC Touch interface or whatever it's called and the iPhone interface and stuff like that, they're just graphically intensive to actually render all that stuff. And so, even if you're just, you know, actually typing in a phone number to dial, it's got to do all fancy processing because it's got to put all the, you know, it's got to put the touch overlay display on there and it's got to do all that sort of stuff and windows have to shrink and expand and be all fancy looking.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something to be said for a phone that just has buttons and numbers on it and a monochrome LCD screen.
The old man, he pops his head out.
Yep.
Hey, you kids, get off my lawn.
But seriously, I do it every time. Every time I take the wife's old phone, right, which is a Nokia, you know, 6300 or something.
Yeah.
And, well, no, it's tiny, right? It's much smaller than the smartphones these days. Not a brick. It's ultra tiny. And it gets like, you know, 3 weeks battery life or something. It's incredible. And you just use it and you go, well, shit, this just works, you know?
Well, it's just a phone, though.
I know. It's just a phone. But it's just, if you want to make a call or send it, it's just so easy. It just works.
That's true. That's true.
Oh, man.
But how will you respond to all your feedback online, Dave?
Well,
I know. That's what you have the smartphone for, right?
Yeah, so that's why I succumbed and I got a HTC Desire.
That's why I justified it as that. That's such a load of crap.
Yeah.
I sit at a computer so often anyways, I could just,
Same, yep.
Yeah.
Same here. It doesn't make any difference. I'm in front of a computer 15 hours a day, so I know. Yeah. But for some reason, I talked myself into getting one. And
I know. And now you're never going to go back, just like me.
Yeah, I know.
That's
because
the worst
I know
part.
If I do need the internet functionality while I'm out on the road somewhere, then it's invaluable and I'll miss it. And
yeah.
Yeah. I'll kick myself for not having a smartphone. And I don't know.
So speaking of the smart or computers out in the road, have you seen the thing with the Google driving and everything like that?
They're actually trying to get a car certified in a state in the US, are they?
They are trying to get Nevada. I don't know why they went with Nevada. I guess because
lots of open space, flat, straight roads. Really,
I was actually going to say because they legalized just about everything else.
Right, okay.
Between prostitution and gambling,
guns,
and everything
drugs,
else.
Prostitution. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
moonshine. You can still run moonshine in Nevada, can't you?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll be out there
Dukes
later
of
this year, so we'll see. If I don't come back, then yes, the answer is yes.
Right.
So they're going for legalization, though. Basically, if people don't know, Google, one of their 20% time projects is, hey, we have a car that can drive itself now. And they've clocked like over 100,000 miles with this thing.
Oh,
unknowingly.
Really? 100,000 on normal roads?
On normal roads. So they'll have someone sitting there monitoring.
Oh, right. Okay. But that's
the computer's,
how they legally.
Yeah, the computer's taken over.
Right.
And, I don't know, man. Would you do that? I feel like public is not used to it.
Like, no.
Now, statistically, I think that these cars, even with a 1% software bug defect, right? I bet the human bug defect is 5%, right? Just bad drivers, tired drivers, drunk drivers, all
what
that other stuff.
What about those rogue cosmic rays, right? You're screwed. Comes
yeah,
through,
true.
Flips a bit.
I don't think that's going to really be the real concern.
Never know. All you need is one in a million or something like that. And
yeah, but that's the thing.
You get
a
bad reputation. And, yeah.
I'm sure that kind of thing would be so regulated. It would be like airline software, right? I mean, that stuff is much more stringently checked. You know, there's like all that pair programming and all that other blah, blah, blah. But I think generally the public would say, oh, I'd never do that. I'm much safer driver. And then you'd compare the two. And
right, and they're probably not. Yeah,
then end up rear-ending each other, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen the full details of it, so I shouldn't probably comment. But I can't believe it's to a point where it's so refined that it's good enough to go through the streets of New York or something like that. You
well,
know,
I
just can't believe it. You know, but you would need so many sensors tracking people and stuff like that. I mean, you know, it's not just about hitting other cars. It's other objects like people at crossings and doing, you know, God knows what.
Hey, just stick a Microsoft Kinect on the front, right?
Right, on the front. Yeah, that,
there's someone dancing over there. I'm not going to go over there. That's what the car would think.
Right. Nah. And then you've got to work under all lighting conditions, all conditions of weather, you know, rain, hail, fog, you know. I don't know.
Well, I've said it before about other things, but if there's someone who's going to do it, I would trust Google to do that kind of thing. You know, I think they have the resources behind it, at least.
They would have the resources, yeah.
I'm not sure what the value behind it is for them. I mean, unless they're trying to just
spend it's just cool.
Money.
They do it because it's cool, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but pushing for legislation, that's a bigger step, right?
Once again, it's probably just because they can. You know,
maybe.
Probably.
We do have one Google listener, maybe.
Well, hey, there's big money in automobiles, right? So if they can sell the technology down the track, they can become the world leaders in that, then, well, it might pay off one day.
I guess it won't
pay off for 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
But who knows?
That's refreshing, dude.
You know, they probably do it just because they can and it's cool. And that's good enough.
And I love that from the innovation aspect, that horrible word innovation, but like the fact that they're doing it, if it is just because they can and just because they have the capability to, that's how you actually make cool stuff, right? When you start like, oh, let's do some customer research and let's make sure everybody likes it.
And let's design it by committee. And
let's sit in some meetings and design. And we're not really designing, but we're getting stuff done, perhaps.
And we're playing wank word bingo.
Yep. Yeah, so from that perspective, I could get behind it. But
all right.
I don't really see the value. And like, I can't imagine like driving down the road or having a car drive down the road and being like, do you want to buy you know, like the Google pop-up words, right?
I was going to say, you get pop-up ads in your car.
Yeah, you get like suggestions.
As you go along.
Yeah, so like maybe if they
would
have
all
like
the... Would you like a penis enlargement?
Yeah. And if they have like, you know, because now you can read a book in the car, now they can sell you a book too, or they
can help
you play music, or I don't know.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Yeah.
I won't knock it till I've tried it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could work. Who knows? But hey, you know, one thing I noticed.
Yeah.
Maxim have changed their slogan, I think.
Okay.
I don't know. I just noticed it. If you go to the Maxim website and you look at the Maxim logo up in the top left corner, it's Maxim, and underneath is Innovation Delivered.
Okay. And let me just say here, I'm not totally disappointed about this, but Maxim.com is the young male magazine, which somewhere between Men's Health and Playboy.
I think I learned that many years ago, and I just always type in maxim-ic.com now.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, right. Okay, I won't
I'm all distracted,
Maxim.
Dave. I'm like, looking at this, I'm like, whoa, wow, these are really better ways to pick up chicks. Okay.
Right. Yeah, I've just always known with Maxim from, I learned very early that, oh, they're the ones with the weird address. They're the ones with the weird URL and, you know.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, this is a much more boring website.
Right. Maxim, I see. Oh, I don't know. There's some pornographic chips on there.
No, graphic chips. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Yeah, so they
absolutely.
Did.
Anyway, what their logo used to be? Can anyone tell me when they changed it? Because it's just hit me. I haven't been to their website for quite some time, so I don't know. It could be 12 months old. Who knows? But Innovation Delivered.
Why don't you talk about why that's important, though? Because that's the real
Maxim
key.
Maxim had a very bad reputation for a long time for not delivering chips. They would actually release more cool chips than anyone else in the industry. So many that you couldn't keep up with it. They would have a newsletter each month that you would get sent that would have all the new chips for that month, and you couldn't read them all. There were that many. It was crazy. 500 devices a year or something. I don't know. Don't quote me on that, but it was ridiculous, you know.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
And
they would, and they're all very cool chips. Maxim make cool chips, right? But you couldn't buy them. You could get samples. They had the best sample service in the business, right?
Even though
we've
talked about that before, and you said you don't like samples
anymore. Yeah, this fantastic service system, which they still have, I think. But, you couldn't buy the damn thing. So everyone would design them into their product and go, oops, sorry, that's 40 weeks lead time, sir. You're screwed. Yeah, thanks a lot, Maxim. And it was actually a blanket rule at many big companies to... Simply, you do not use Maxim. End of story. You know,
it's still that way today for me. I'm still.
Oh,
it's
really?
It's not an official rule for me, but every time I go talk to our purchasing guy for the engineering group, he says, "Nope, don't bother."
Right. Not allowed to design in a Maxim part, huh?
Yeah, I wouldn't touch him right now. I mean, I've mentioned it before. So I met Eric Schlepfer. I hope I pronounced his name right. And he's actually a Maxim product manager. And I said it to him, and he got kind of. Kind of upset.
They get very defensive about it, I think.
I would too. I mean, that's rough. I mean, it's like you get discounted before anything happens.
Oh, yeah, because they claim, but hey, it's their fault, right? They're the ones who let themselves get that bad rep.
Yeah.
And they didn't fix it. And then the CEO had to come out and write an open letter to everyone.
Yep.
I could probably post a link to that, I think. I think it was back in 2008 saying, we're aware of it and we've put trillions of dollars into making sure that we're fixing it.
Yeah.
And, well, yeah, but, hey, you know, mud sticks and tough shit. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that they've had to change their logo to Innovation Delivered.
Which
is the two things that they were known for. This does not surprise me. They were known for innovation, making some of the coolest chips in the market, and they want to be known for delivering that stuff. So, I don't know if they made that up themselves or they paid some PR company to think it up for them, but it was a pretty obvious slogan, and I think it's good, but will it help them? Maybe in the long run.
We've talked about it on here before, but I think maybe what we talked about on here, but the reason behind it though was also the reason they wouldn't deliver is because they were serving like really high volume clients. So it'd be like going and serving, okay, well, Apple needs chips, so they get all our chips, instead of saying, well, they get 90% of our chips and we're still going to sell 10%. So little guys can still design them in. So you'd have people that were using
that's
them.
That's nothing new. Other manufacturers do that too, right? But the fact is Maxim just overextended themselves on the number of devices. Yeah. And they just became too popular and people tried to, you know, there's too many people who wanted them and they didn't have the design capacity and they, you know, couldn't figure out how to, you know, weigh up the number of devices versus, you know, all that planning, all that logistics planning stuff. They just sucked at it. And,
in the world of fabless models, you know, like that is the model. If people don't know, that is the model today. It's not going back, right? And so back in the day,
that's right.
If Maxim had their own chip fabs, then you're limited by that. You can start, you know, 20,000 wafers a week, and that's what you get. You get 20,000 wafers, and if Apple needs 20,000 wafers, you're giving them all to Apple or whoever you favor. And that was why the 40-week lead time happened. And now you can say, well, we're just going to farm it out to TSMC or UMC or Global Chip Fab, whatever the hell they're called. You know, and that's just the way it is. I don't think it's coming back. Do you think it's coming back, Dave?
In what, the fab based companies?
Yeah. Like anyone having their own fab. Like say Touchstone, we mentioned them, right?
It costs too much. So, you know, the big ones are always going to have their fabs because fabs aren't going to shut down. They just keep changing hands, really. So somebody's got to have the fabs. And, you know, the huge company. I thought Maxim did have some of their own fabs.
Yeah, you know, I think they do. But I'm just saying in a fabless world, now you can farm it out, right? Whereas before,
you can farm it out, which is every startup company. Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't build your own fab. There's no way you can get the investment capital to, you know, $1 billion to buy your own fab.
Right, because the equivalent would be
like...
It's just
not going to happen. Forget it.
If you started a circuit board manufacturing company, right, and you went out and tried to buy an SMT machine, you're not going to do that, right? You're going to start by sending to an assembly house. That's a smaller scale, but, you know, you're going to get someone else to assemble it first, get some cash, and start building up. And then eventually it might make sense to make that kind of thing.
Might buy a small machine to start off with, but you wouldn't go and buy a whole factory with 100 machines.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. So, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy. Anyway, it's interesting to mention Maxim because in my recent teardown of the new Agilent U1272A meter, I noted, if you have a look at the video...
Oh, I should go watch that video right now, Dave.
Absolutely. I need the views. They use a ton of Maxim parts in there. I was quite surprised.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, whole bunch of them. Like more than half the chips, I think, are actually Maxim in there. It's fascinating.
That is fascinating.
So they can obviously buy them. But they are Agilent, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right. They've got a bit more pull than, you know, Dave Others. Jones, who wants his 100 chips, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, will that work for him? I don't know. Innovation delivered.
Yep.
That's just a cool radio. You know, you can just picture that on radio. Maxim, innovation delivered. Sorry, I don't have a radio voice, but yeah.
No, neither of us do.
Kind of, I think it's one of the better slogans, actually. I've got to admit.
I'm not a connoisseur of slogans, so.
No? Yeah, no. Well, neither am I, but I just kind of like it. Anyway, if anyone knows when they actually changed it, please let me know, because I have no idea. Maybe it's been there for donkey's years and I just haven't noticed.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think we have time for one more thing, maybe a chip of the week.
But a chip of the week.
Yes. Before we do that, I forgot our shout out for the week.
Go for it.
So we wanted to give a shout out to Dino, Maker Dino. He's been on here once or twice before, but he's still doing his hack a week thing.
Awesome.
And so I want to commend that. He's on his 8th week now. He's been doing some fun stuff. And
fantastic.
Yeah, we kind of ranted on here about how Hackaday wanted to hire someone so cheap, and then he just started doing it on his own, and he's kind of become the de facto, you know, person they feature now.
Right.
So I told him to invoice them, to send him a bill.
Oh, they actually put his stuff on Hacker Week, do they?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Hack a Day.
Yeah, he sends it in every week. And
so that's brilliant.
I told him, like, man, you should just send him a bill. So.
Oh, that's great. So do they actually hire someone?
Does anyone know? I haven't heard.
Right. Oh, boy.
Yeah, people have heard. Definitely leave it in the comments or give us a tweet or something. That'd be cool to know. But
yeah. Excellent.
So, Chip
just
of the Week.
Quickly, before we do Chip of the Week.
Oh, okay, go.
I outed somebody.
Oh, no.
It was excellent. There was a big full-page ad in one of the papers here in Australia. You know, big, expensive ad about solar panels.
Oh, I did see this. Okay.
Our government sponsored this huge program to they would basically pay for installing your solar panels, right? Uh-huh. And the scheme was so popular that they had to can it. It just, you know, they just got inundated. And now they're trying to cancel all the feed-in tariffs, which people were going to get, you know, a whole bunch of money, people who installed these things, for feeding energy back into the grid, okay. Which was great. But, oh, yeah, it was a ridiculous rate. It was like five times the rate that you would buy power for. So if you fed the same energy back into the grid, you'd get paid five times more.
Right, so the payback looked a lot better for
the payback was incredible. It was an absolute no-brainer to get these solar panels. Anyway, they tried to cancel all these contracts with people who installed, you know, with all the people who installed them. And there's this there's this campaign mob in Australia here, a solar energy group, and they took out this full-page ad in the paper saying, "Oh, there's 120,000 people in this state who you're screwing over with this thing." And I thought, shit, 120,000 panels, have they really installed that many?
Yeah.
On 120,000 homes? And I thought, I'll check on this. So I went and checked, and sure enough, the figure's bullshit. Right? It's full page ad, 120,000 people, you've screwed them over. And it's not, it's actually 25,000 people. The figure they used was for all of Australia. Oops. Idiots.
Oh my. Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, I thought that was absolutely hilarious, and I called them on it, and, well, they're just pulling their head in and hiding now, so they won't respond. Anyway, you can't believe numbers.
So
what are their lies, damn lies, and stats? Is that the
saying? Something like that, yeah.
Right, yeah. No, anyway. God, you would think if you take out a full-page ad, which costs a buttload of money, and you're putting your ass on the line by claiming some huge figure, you know, you'd at least get it right. So,
And
this is the solar energy mob of Australia. It's the, you know, some group, you know, and you would think that would be their bread and butter figure, right? You would think that would be the one figure that they would know was how many solar panels have been installed.
Yeah.
And I found the government document, which told me exactly how many, right down to the last digit. You know, they were wrong. They used the wrong figure. Oops. Anyway, end of story. I thought that was funny. Can't trust anyone. Don't trust figures. Always check.
I agree with that, yeah.
Yep.
So, Chip of the Week, what do we got?
Chip of the Week. Is this my one, or have
yes,
you
this
got
is,
one?
No, this is yours. This is a carryover from... Ooh, we've talked about this twice now, I think.
Cool. And it's the LT3080 is the chip of the week. Congratulations. Yay!
Yeah.
I actually talked about the LT3085 on my very first blog, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So it's been out a while, but this is the upgraded version, which goes to an amp. So it's basically an LDO. It's a low dropout voltage regulator. Nothing fancy there, but it goes down to 0 volts. It's not your traditional LDO. Ooh. And really you've got to, it's basically simply an op amp, with a current source in it set by a single resistor. And that's the other good thing is that you set the output voltage with a single resistor. You don't need the traditional resistor divider on the output.
So you just put it to ground. Yeah.
And you just put it to ground and it's got a, it has an internal constant current source, which drives the constant current through that resistor, which then generates a reference voltage. And that's how it, generates the thing. Anyway, you can look at the internal block diagram too. It's very simple and it's a very useful part. And what I found is that because the internal constant current source is so small, it's only 10 microamps, yep. right? You can actually override that and feed in onto the set pin. You can actually feed a voltage directly onto the set pin.
Oh, so you can just use it as a programming.
You can just use it as a digitally programmable. So if you need a programmable voltage from your PIC chip or something like that, all you got to do is have your pulse width modulation output that sets a voltage, buffer it, drive it directly into the set pin, and you can get a digitally programmable voltage out of this thing.
Up to an amp, right?
Up to an amp, yep.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
And it's available in various packages, TO220, SOT223, which is one of my favorites, and other packages. And you can get a half-amp version, which is the LT3085 as well. So they're basically the same chip.
That seems like a good like tool belt kind of
It's a nice little building block chip.
Yeah,
I really like it. It's a little bit on the expensive side. It's like, I think it's $1.50 or something in like 100 quantity, but... it's not the cheapest out there, but it's really versatile, and I like it.
Well, we were talking about the thing Maxim can't get away from, LT can't get away from the pricier side of the chips, but...
right, they are LTR pricier.
Yeah.
If you want cheap chips, you don't go to... They're not your first choice, so...
No, definitely.
Unfortunately.
Definitely not. But they make some cool ones, too. So, I mean, they're our second chip of the week, and they've been on twice now, so...
Yep. Also, I've developed a circuit where you can actually... which I'll eventually reveal, that you can develop a digitally programmable constant current as well.
Nice.
And you can use this as a constant current generator as well. So it's a really neat chip, and they've got lots of example apps in the data sheet, and it's really cool.
Man, I love data sheets. We had a high school student shadowing us this week in my group at work.
Right.
And I was showing him data sheets today because he was just real fresh to the scene and everything.
Yeah.
I turned to him, I said, you know, I love data sheets. I love the application circuits and data sheets. You could almost teach yourself all of electronics with just data
sheets.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, so great.
I
loved it.
It's brilliant.
So
check it out, the LT3080.
Yes. I think, is it true? Is it up? Is our amp hour up, Dave?
No, come on. We haven't run out of capacity, surely.
Oh, I think we have. Unless my time is off.
What the hell did we rant on about today? That took up an hour.
I can run through the list if you'd like.
Oh, right. Okay. That's right. They're here and they're numbered.
Yeah. Let's see.
17 items? Give me a break.
I know. A lot of chips today. A lot of chips and our usual corporate finance making fun of bean counters and complaining about stuff. And you called out that new project, Maximite, which is cool.
Yep.
And
it's all good.
So we want
There's a thing I wanted to tack on to the end of that, but I won't this week. Because I just wanted to... What opinions do you have of the semiconductor companies out there? Maybe we can get a list for next week. Like, you know, LT, right?
Yeah.
Where they have a stigma of being high cost. Maxim, you can't get the bastards, right?
National, and, they're dead.
What other companies out there do you have, you think, have a rep for something?
That's a good idea. So if people could leave that in the comments, and then also if you remember we mentioned the guy that had 88 Fluke meters, so if you can beat that, or even if you want to just show it up, you can go on the EEV blog forum. Or
I'll be surprised if anyone can beat that.
Oh god, yeah. And was there anything else? I don't know if there was. I don't know. If you know flea markets around the country, around the US or elsewhere, let us know about those too, because you know that'd be great to get a list going of flea markets for people to go buy other people's electronic crap
instead of just dumping it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it usually is junk.
Yeah,
junk with a Q. You know, that's how you pronounce fancy junk.
Yep. All right. Well,
thanks for joining us.
We'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
555 Arduino 555 Arduino.
Not that triple nickel rubbish. That's all we're going to talk about today.
555 Arduino.
Kill that puppy. See if we care.
Please don't kill puppies.
Okay.